Would you open up your Bible with me today to, we'll start over in Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, and I'm just going to jump right into this. So this is the number one antidepressant and anti-anxiety meditation. Now in the world, and well, not just in the world, in this world, and I don't mean that in a negative way, but in our world, there are a lot of breakthroughs in medication. There's antidepressant and anti-anxiety medications, but I'm offering to you tonight the number one antidepressant, the number one anti-anxiety meditation. Because the greatest medication is meditation. Meditation is the best medication. And I don't mean like getting in a sitting position and meditate like a Buddhist. I'm talking about meditating on God's word. It's not yoga, although, you know, there may be some really great benefits from that, and certainly stretching is a great thing to do for all of us physically. But the point is meditating on God's word is what will bring healing in your life. And meditating on what God has done is what will bring happiness in your life and joy in your life and peace in your life and freedom from sadness and calm. And it'll bring calm and deliverance from anxiety. And I bet when you visit relatives tomorrow, or you have relatives visit you, or you visit friends or whoever you're going to celebrate Thanksgiving with, I'll bet you are going to be with somebody that is deeply depressed or highly anxious in their life. And we need to have the tools to be able to kindly and gently and sensitively encourage them and be able to have an answer. And so I want to kindly and gently and sensitively give you the answer tonight and give you the equipment to truly be delivered. Because, well, we all know what this is, but if you look in Luke chapter 17, at the end of this, so what happens is 10 lepers are cleansed. You know this verse. 10 lepers are cleansed, but it says in verse 15 of Luke chapter 17, but one of them, when he saw that he was healed, one of the 10, when he saw that he was healed, returned with a loud voice, glorified God, and gave him, verse 16, and fell down at the feet of Jesus and giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. Now the point about him being a Samaritan was that he wasn't a Jewish person, so he wasn't entitled to the covenant of promise or the covenant of healing. He wasn't entitled to it. He didn't have the right that the Jewish people had at that time. Under the old covenant, the Jewish people had the right to healing, but the Samaritans did not have the right to healing. And so you can understand why this man was so grateful, is that he was thankful for a gift that he knew he didn't deserve. And when we get a hold of the fact that everything that God has done for us is a gift that we didn't deserve, it will make us continually return to Jesus, giving him thanks, glorifying him. And it will be a lifestyle as we continue to focus on. If you look at verse 15, it says, when this man saw, one of them, when he saw that he was healed, all of them were healed. I know I sound like a broken record, but it's Thanksgiving and we need to talk about this. All of them were healed. But what was the difference between this one? He saw that he was healed. It's what he was focused on. Look, every one of us is going to have to choose what we're going to focus on in our lives. What are we going to give our attention to? What are we going to set our mind on? What are we going to fix our eyes on? Are we going to think about and focus on what God has done for us? Or are we going to think about what we need from God, what God hasn't done, what life hasn't brought us, what people have done to us? You know, this whole mentality of feeling like a victim, feeling like you've been mistreated and you've been wronged. We've all been mistreated. We've all been wronged. But God has more than made up for it, and more than made up for it to each one of us. In other words, we have been, if you could get a hold of this, you have been mistreated by God in the greatest of ways. God has been way better to you than you've ever deserved. But we put way more weight on the bad things that people have done to us that we didn't deserve. I didn't deserve to be treated that way. I didn't deserve for my husband to do that. I didn't deserve for my wife to do that. I didn't deserve for my parents to treat me this way. I didn't deserve for my boss. But if you would stop focusing on the bad things that you didn't deserve and focus on the good things you didn't deserve, oh man, somebody's got to get a hold of this. If you would set your mind on the good things that you have in your life that you didn't deserve, you don't even deserve the air you breathe every day, but God is glad to give it to you. God is glad to give you another breath. God is glad to let you be able to breathe without even thinking about it 24 hours a day. You can go to sleep and keep breathing and not have to be woken up every few seconds. Hey, don't forget to breathe. That's why the Bible says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Right? That means as long as you're living, man, as long as you're living, what ought to come out of our mouths is praise to God. If you saw that it was God that gave you that breath. So if we would just get a hold of this, that thanks and praise and gratitude is the greatest medication that the human body and the human mind and the human soul could ever benefit from. There is no better medication, because now you could take something that is a substitute stimulus to health or to feeling better physically, but, and this is why people do drugs, is because people do drugs because it does something to their mind. It changes how they're looking at things. But it's only temporary, and it doesn't last, and then you get addicted and you need more, and you need to keep pumping more and more into the body, into the bloodstream, into the brain, into the neurotransmitting portion of your brain, to the pleasure center of your brain. And we need to realize God wired us to have pleasure. God wired us to be happy. God wired us to have joy. He wired us to laugh. He wired us to smile. He wired us, it takes more muscles to frown than it does to smile. It's just, you say, no, but it's way easier for me to frown. That's because you've trained yourself to. That's because that's how you've grown up. That's how you've trained yourself. That's how you've developed your muscle, your muscle memory is to think about the negative and to frown. You know that you cannot be thankful and critical at the same time? Do you know you can't be thankful and negative at the same time? Now I know I didn't think you were coming and expecting a message on, the second coming of Jesus on Thanksgiving. I figured you came expecting to hear this, but I really want you to get a hold of the spirit behind this, because I want to take you over to a scripture in Romans chapter 1, because then we're gonna conclude tonight by taking communion together, and we're going to release praise and healing and miracles and breakthroughs because of our gratitude for what Jesus has already done for us. We're never taking communion to try to get God to do something. We take communion to remember what Jesus has done. And remembering is what produces gratitude. By remembering the good that God has done in your life, it produces gratitude and it produces joy. We'll talk about that in a moment as well. But look over in Romans chapter 1, verse 21, and look at what it says here. Romans chapter 1. Verse 21. Really glad to see you. Are you glad to be here tonight? I hope so. If you're not yet, you just hang in there, because you're going to be glad by the end of the service. He said, although they knew God, look at what he says. Although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts. They became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Notice what he says. When they did not glorify God, they did not glorify him as God, and nor were they thankful. But look at what happens. They became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Now, the word futile is the word vain, and it means aimless or pointless. Listen to what this word means. He said, because this is what the result of unthankfulness. And now, I really need you to look at this in a different way. Is that when I talk about being thankful, I'm not talking about an attitude where, okay, I just need to be thankful, okay, I just need to change my mind and be thankful about this, I just need to change my attitude and be thankful. No, thankfulness comes from thankfulness. Whatever your thoughts are full of will produce gratitude. Like if you fill your thoughts with what God has done for you, it will cause you to be thankful. So you don't have, thankfulness is a reflex. Thankfulness is not, it's not even really a choice to be thankful. It's a result of thankfulness produces thankfulness. So if you are constantly thinking about what God has done for you, it will constantly result in a reflex of thankfulness. And that's why David said in Psalm 103, he said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. And he starts making his list. Now I'm going to give you a list tonight of three things that to think about continually that will produce thankfulness in your life. Three things that if you will think about these three things and you'll truly embrace these three things, you will be not only the happiest person, but the most grateful person that you could ever possibly be. And I believe that the best version of ourselves is the grateful version of ourselves. The best version of ourselves is the thankful version of ourselves. The best version of ourselves is the version of ourselves that is constantly remembering what God has done. Not living in the past, but meditating on what God has done, remembering. And that's why I wanted to share these thoughts with you before we take communion, so that when we take communion, we're activating our memory banks and our muscle memory to recall and reflect upon what Jesus has already done for us, the good that God has given us. Amen. Amen. Well, look at what he says happens. He says, when they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful. And we'll talk about what it means to glorify God in if we have time. It really simply means what is your focus on? So the word glorify is also the word to magnify God. So we can't make God bigger, but we can, just like a magnifying glass does not make a leaf bigger. It just makes the focus of it look bigger. It just puts the emphasis on the leaf, puts the focus. It magnifies the appearance of the insect that you put a magnifying glass on, or it magnifies if you have reading glasses, they magnify what you're reading. It doesn't make the words bigger, but it makes them bigger to you. That's what it means to glorify God. It means to magnify what God has done, to realize how big he is, and to think about all the good that he's done, and to truly put the attention on him. As you glorify God, the problem shrinks. As you glorify the problem grows. That's why we need to glorify God, and the problems in our lives will shrink. In other words, a lot of times we're focused on getting rid of the problem rather than just changing our perspective about the problem. And this gives you way more power when you realize that you can change the way you look at a situation, and that will bring you so much more peace and so much more joy. If I have to get rid of my problem, if I have to get rid of all my problems, first of all, I'm going to be a very lonely person because most of my problems are people. But if I have to get... just teasing. But if I have to get rid of all my problems in order for me to have peace or in order for me to have happiness, then I'm constantly under the lordship of my problems. But if I could just shift how I'm looking at that problem, Like, this thing is nothing compared to God. Nothing is too difficult to God. God is way bigger. What he's done for me is way bigger. All that he's given me is way bigger than this little problem. What it does is it shrinks the problem as I glorify God. The problem gets smaller in my eyes. God gets bigger in my eyes and the problem gets smaller in my eyes. And guess what happens? Now that problem doesn't have the impact on your emotions or the impact on your life that it did before, and now it doesn't have any power. So even if the problem remains, it has lost its power over you. And this is the secret to living. It's not to get rid of the problem, but it's to eliminate the problem having power over you by magnifying and glorifying God. But it says, when they did not glorify God, nor were they thankful, what was the downward spiral? They didn't glorify God. They weren't thankful. So they became futile in their thoughts and their foolish hearts were darkened. So what happened is remember, the mind and the heart, that's the central nervous system of our lives, our minds and our hearts. That's how we function. And so this has the biggest impact on your mind and on your heart is when we lose that gratitude and when we lose the focus on being thankful and why. Notice what it does. We become futile in our thoughts. They became futile in their thoughts and their foolish hearts were darkened. And this word futile, it means to be without purpose. To be without purpose. The absence of purpose or failure to attain any true purpose. Wow, like if you could get a hold of this, that most people are living aimless lives without purpose for one reason and one reason only, because they stopped glorifying God and thanking him for what he's done. Listen, if you would begin to glorify God and be thankful for all that he's already done in your life, what that does is that gives you purpose. You don't become futile in your thoughts, but you become purposeful in your thoughts. God fills your mind with his purpose and his will and his dreams for your life through glorifying him and through gratitude. You see, this is more powerful than we ever really realize. And this brings you into God's purpose for your life. Otherwise, you become futile in your thoughts without purpose and without aim. And your heart becomes foolish and it becomes darkened. Another word for this word futile is actually the word to have a disorder. To have a disorder. Things are out of order or to have a disorder. So it's to have a disorder in your thoughts is what is, I mean, think about what that is. That is a mental disorder. A mental disorder is the result. No, man, listen. There are some things that are physiological, and if you need medication for something, you need to take that medication. But the vast majority of the condition in our world today, do you know that I saw a report on diabetes the other day, and do you know that there's only 5% of diabetes is type 1 diabetes, which is something that you can't control through your own lifestyle. But 90% of diabetes is type 2 diabetes, and that is something you can control by what you eat. Now, I don't know if you knew that, but that is a scientific fact. That's not something I'm making up. And so the point that I'm trying to make is, yes, there are some cases, and there's a percentage of mental illnesses or mental conditions. I was just using diabetes as an example of how 5% of it is truly insurmountable from a physical standpoint without treatment and without a medical breakthrough. But 90% of it is treatable based on what you put into your body. Now think about that. In the same way, what I'm telling you is in the same way, mental conditions and mental sickness and mental illness and a lack of mental health, there are some cases where it must be treated with medication, but that's the smaller percentage. The vast majority of mental health conditions is the result of what we're putting in our minds and what we're putting in our hearts. Just like the vast majority of diabetes is based on what people are putting in their bodies, the vast majority And you could be healed of that even if the diabetes is the result of what you're doing to yourself, you can still be healed. God is still a generous, gracious, merciful God. Now, you'll get healed faster if you change your diet, or more long-term, I should say. Your healing will be long-lasting, much more long-lasting. God can heal you instantaneous, but if you keep eating the wrong stuff, it's going to keep feeding a bad health condition. In the same way, if you keep thinking on the same stuff that's wrong, that's negative and gossip and unthankful and critical, then you are going to have a mental health condition that is plaguing our culture. Do you know that mental health disorders account for 4 out of the top 10 causes of disability around the world? And in the United States, major depression, also called clinical depression, manic depression, schizophrenia, and obsessive compulsive disorder. 9 out of 10 inmates in the United Kingdom have been tested for mental health disorders. In America, up to 65% of all people in prison have a serious mental illness, and there are three. Now, why am I going there? Because he talks about people becoming futile in their thoughts here, which literally can be translated as having a mental disorder, a thought disorder. And what is it a result of? They did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful. So you say, well, come on, can that really cure anybody? How do you know that that's like 8 or 9 out of 10? Well, why don't we just start by glorifying God and being thankful, and let's see what happens? Like, what do we have to lose? Because glorifying him and being thankful is better for everybody anyway. And you say, well, but how can I be sure that that's going to cure me? Start with that. And then if you need medication after the meditation, I'll recommend a good doctor for you. I mean, or go see the doctor in the meantime. Go see the doctor now. Take all the medication that a doctor might prescribe for you when you do it in the right way. But do this, and that will cure the vast majority of your condition, because our futile thoughts, our mentally ill, our disorders in our thinking and in our feelings, our heart and our minds, will be dramatically affected by glorifying God and being thankful. And if we just start with glorifying God and being thankful, glorifying God and being thankful, glorifying God and being thankful, we will find that our health, mental health, will dramatically improve, and our heart will be filled with wisdom rather than foolish, and with light rather than darkness. And when your heart and your mind are full of light, and it produces health, because light is healing. Light brings healing. The entrance of the entrance of his word brings light. So now there are 3 times, listen to this statistic. There are 3 times more mentally ill persons in jails and prisons than in hospitals in the United States. In the United States, 3 times more people are mentally ill in jails and prisons than in hospitals. In other words, we're imprisoning people. Now, don't get me wrong. If somebody has the potential to harm or commit violent acts towards anybody, I'm 100% they need to be put away. But putting them in jail is not a cure. It does protect the innocent, and for that alone is a good enough reason, but it doesn't rehabilitate that person. We used to have way more mental institutions in our country, and they've closed and reduced down. Why? And look at, the crime rate has gone up, and the imprisonments have gone up, and the killings and the shootings and the violence has gone up. These are not things that happen because somebody just makes a decision one day to become violent. You become mentally out of order when you lose the sight of glorifying God and being thankful. Nobody ever glorified God and lived in gratitude hurt anybody. Because when you glorify God and live in gratitude, you are mentally healthy, and you never want to bring harm to anybody. You only want to bring blessing to people. Are you hearing this? You say, well, what if it's a demon? Maybe it is a demon that's causing that person to be afflicted. Well, what if it's just they're evil and they had bad parents? Maybe they are evil and they had bad parents. But if we start with the common denominator of what cures most illness and disease mentally, which is glorifying God and gratitude. Glorifying God and being thankful. Look at what it says. They neither glorified God nor were they thankful, but so they became futile in their thoughts and their foolish hearts were darkened. Now listen, people, if God's word is not the cure to the mental illness in our world and the mental health condition in our world, if God's word is not the cure, what are we reading it for? If God's word can't cure the mind, if God's word can't cure the heart, what can it do? Believe me, beloved, it can do all of the above and more. It's God's word. It's living. It's active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It brings life. It brings healing. It brings deliverance. It sets free. But we are not thinking about what God is doing. We're not glorifying God. We've kind of put the Bible on the side. Christians kind of put the Bible on the side. And we worship because the song is good rather than, do you know that you have more power in making the worship moments in our church to be a great experience than the worship singers do? Because if you came with glorifying God and an attitude of thanks, then this place would blow up. That would inspire this team to even go beyond and do better. Like we got to stop waiting for a worship team to do our worshiping for us. We got to stop waiting for a singer to do our glorifying God for us. The one leper he glorified God with a loud voice. Nobody had to tell him, come on, let's sing louder. Come on, give the Lord a shout. Come on, let's give God a praise. That guy saw that he was healed. Like if you walked into the building and were like, man, I am saved. I'm a child of God. I'm a son or daughter of God. I'm born again. I have a covenant with God. The blood of Jesus has cleansed me. I'm healed by his stripes. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. I'm blessed coming in and blessed going out. I'm a son or daughter of the Most High God. Let me tell you something. You wouldn't need me to tell you, hey, give the Lord a shout. You'd be coming in here shouting and hooping and yeah, I'd have to shut some of you down. Hey, team, go tell that person they're way too loud. Go tell that person they're going. Like, what a great problem to have if everybody came glorifying God. And I'm not saying just making a loud noise glorifies God. I'm saying when he saw that he was healed. Like, what are you thinking about when you walk in the door? When you walk in the doors, it shouldn't take me to make a list for you of all that God has done. You should be coming in. The Bible says whenever you gather together, everybody bring a psalm. Everybody bring a song. Everybody bring a hymn. Everybody bring a revelation. He's not saying everybody bring a revelation so that everybody can preach. We got a good preacher here. What he's saying is, oh, you missed a good chance to say amen, but I don't want you to now. Too late. Too late. No, 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 no. No courtesy praises now. No, no, no courtesy applause. He's saying everybody, where's that verse? Can you guys find that? Can somebody find that? Where's that verse where it says everybody bring a hymn, everybody bring a psalm, everybody bring a revelation? You know why he's saying that? Because if you on your way in here or at home before you got here, if you had a revelation of what God, of how much God loves you, you're to bring that revelation because it's going to impact all of us. Not just by you sharing it, but by you knowing it, because that's going to affect your attitude. That's going to affect how you, you know, whether you come in grumbling and complaining or whether you come in with, you know, thankfulness and humility and softness of heart. Woo! Yeah, everybody should be getting a revelation. Everybody should bring to church a revelation. He said, how is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, each of you should have a psalm, a teaching, a tongue, a revelation, an interpretation. In other words, you're bringing that with you, whether you have the microphone or not, you're bringing it with you because it impacts you. Yes. And when it impacts you, it impacts the people around you. Yes. He's saying, look, brothers and sisters, all of us should come with this stuff. Like not just the pastor shouldn't be the only one coming with a hymn You know, I brought a hymn, but my hymn was Holy, 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 and it's all about in the morning. You sing it in the morning, so I couldn't use that one tonight. Bad joke. All right. But I brought a revelation with me of how much God loves me. I'm not here to talk about that in this night, on this service, but I brought that revelation with me, and it affects my attitude when I'm with you. You see, I brought some instruction, like God's instructed me about some things, and I brought that with me. So now when I get here, it begins to become contagious. And when you get here, what you have becomes contagious. That's why people leave a church. Nobody ever leaves a church because they just decided, I don't like the preacher anymore. When somebody leaves, no, some people just, they move or, you know, relocate or whatever. But what often happens most of the time is some people are talking and some negative, you know, stuff, and then some gossip and some negativity, some critical, and, you know, people just saying stuff. And so that gets in a person's heart, and all of a sudden that person's lack of revelation has now become contagious. That person's gossip becomes contagious and spreads in the same way that when you come with humility and you come with joy and you come with gratitude, that will spread and impact people and make people want to stay. But negativity will make people want to go. You see, does that make sense? All right, I know, just kind of, you know, just trying to lay this out here, but listen. Studies show gratitude is a natural antidepressant and anti-anxiety force. When we take time to ask what we're grateful for, certain neurological circuits are activated in our brain, producing dopamine and serotonin, increasing in our brains neurotransmitters that travel and create a pathway to the bliss center of the brain. Look, you are not going to be happy because you have a day off tomorrow, but you're going to be happy if you're thankful tomorrow. You're not going to be happy because you ate a lot of turkey or ate a lot of whatever tomorrow. You're going to be happy if you're grateful for whatever you do have. If you don't have a lot and all you have is just a plate of vegetables, but you're thankful for whatever you have, you will be a happier person than the person who has the biggest feast on Thanksgiving, because it's not about how much you have. It's about how grateful you are for whatever you have. Whew, man, that's what changes everything, people. That's what changes everything. It's the negativity is rewiring. Negativity rewires your brain to become a complainer. You stop looking for the good and you start looking for something bad. You've trained yourself. You just have to retrain yourself and rewire your brain. Whoa, this will change your life. You get a hold of this. Practicing gratitude naturally creates the same effects of medications and feelings of contentment without any side effects. How many have ever read the side effects on the side of a? I mean, I get depressed reading the side effects. Antidepressant, but the side effects, like this is you antidepressant, you'll have a little more peace. Anti-anxiety, you'll have a little more peace, but your kidney might get, you know, might shrivel up, and you're never going to be able to have sex again, and your hair is going to fall out, and you're going to shrink 6 inches. But man, I'm not anxious anymore. With gratitude, there are no side effects. It has a physiological effect on your brain, sending dopamine and serotonin chemicals through your body without the side effects. Woo! Paul said in 2 Timothy 3, verse 1 and 2, that in the last days, look at what it says, 2 Timothy 3, verse 1 and 2. Just give me a couple more minutes here. Look at 2 Timothy 3, verse 1 and 2. He says, 2 Timothy is the one after the first Timothy. Look, I get it all mixed up. That's 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 3, you had it, that was good. 2 Timothy 3, and thanks for doing that, by the way, you guys. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1, there it is. But know this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. Verse 2, what kind of times? He says, difficult times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Look at how he includes unthankful in a list of disobedience and lovers of pleasure, blasphemers, pride, unholy, and then he puts in the middle of there unthankful. But most of us would be like, yeah, pride is wrong, but unthankfulness is sort of an option. And we need to not let that be optional any more than pride, disobedience, and boasting isn't optional. Those are all things that we would all say, yeah, that's really wrong. I'm not going to operate in that. Let's have that attitude towards unthankfulness, yeah. Right? Yeah. That's what he's saying here. Look, nobody would argue, I think, that we live in a society full of unthankful people, and yet we have more blessing and more prosperity and more that we have than any group of people have ever had in the world. And we have it all. We've got the computers and the phones and the resources, and it's just never enough. And we always need a bigger one and with more and more things and more of this and more of that. Like if we would just I don't mind, like my kids, they said, you know, get this new phone. This one's better and can faster and do all this. But I was fine with my flip phone from 1994. Do you know I have the same phone number? When we celebrated our 25-year church anniversary, it was also the 25-year anniversary of my cell phone number. I have the same cell phone number. You say, you mean the one, Pastor, you gave me 20 years ago when I first started coming to church? Yeah. You say, oh, so I'll call you anytime. Call me anytime. I don't answer it hardly ever, but call me anytime. Like, we don't need that much. We just need to be thankful for what we have. And it will seem like much. And I'm not saying that God won't give us more. You're a magnet for more the more grateful you are for whatever you have. You become a magnet for more through gratitude and thankfulness. Not manufactured thankfulness, but really being thankful. All right, I told you I'd give you three things to be thankful for. And this will change your life. When you meditate on these things, it'll change your life. Number one, real quick. Your sins are forgiven. This is your thankful gratitude list going into this weekend and going into this holiday. Your sins are forgiven. I think that is the most beautiful thing to think about every day. And I think about it every day in my life. I am continually thinking about how much God has forgiven me. You say, well, don't you have to think about your job and think about doing this and think about preaching? But you see, in any endeavor, whether you start a business or whether you work in the church or in a school, or whether you work at Apple, or whatever your job, business, or career is in, remembering how much God has shown you mercy will make you way better at what you do, no matter what it is you do. I just remember how much He's forgiven me. It has saved me many times from doing something unwise in my life, just remembering how much God has forgiven me. I'm not saying that I don't have the power to make bad decisions, because my life proves I have the power to make bad decisions. My track record proves I got power to make good decisions, and I've got the power to make bad decisions because I have a collection of both. Anybody say amen to that? Not about me, but about yourself. And I got to tell you that But the one thing that has rescued me many, many times from going off in a really bad way is remembering how much God has forgiven me. How much He's forgiven me. I don't say, well, God's really forgiven me, and He can forgive me for this too. Woo! What I'm about to do, He'll forgive me for that too. It doesn't make me think that way. when I think about how merciful he's been to me and how my sins are forgiven, it makes me thankful. It makes me thankful. Your sins are forgiven. You know, Paul said it in Romans 4, verse 7, happy. Romans chapter 4, verse 7, he said, happy is the man who knows his sins and his lawless deeds are forgiven. Yep. Look at the, I think in the King James version of the, or the Amplified, look at the Amplified Bible. Happy, blessed, to be envied are those whose iniquities are forgiven, and literally translated as who know that their iniquities have been forgiven. Blessed and happy are those who know it. How many know, how many believe you're forgiven? But when you know, like there's not a shadow of a doubt in my mind, I am forgiven. That makes me happy. It makes me happy. I don't ever wonder about it. Am I really forgiven? It's in the blood, by the blood, washed away. God's even forgotten them. I haven't forgotten them. God's forgotten my sins. I haven't forgotten all of them, but he has. I just lean on him. Okay, I'm just going to be forgetful like you, Lord, and I'm just going to be thankful. Because I think us remembering makes us thankful. God doesn't remember our sins because he washed them away in his blood. So he doesn't look at them. He doesn't think about them ever. I think about what I've done sometimes, and I am so thankful that I'm forgiven. Number two, what makes me thankful is that God hears me. He hears me. Psalm 116, verse 1 says, I love the Lord because he heard my cry. I love the Lord. Psalm 116, verse 1, I love the Lord. He says, David says, I love the Lord because he heard me. He heard me. He heard my voice. This is why I love him. This is why I'm thankful. This is why I emote to God. This is why my heart is broken before him, is because he hears me. He hears me. He hears you. He doesn't ignore you. This makes me thankful. Like the God of the universe listens when I cry, listens when I pray, listens when I speak, listens when I sing. He listens, and you'll always fall in love with somebody that's a good listener faster than you would ever fall in love with somebody that's a good talker. There are a lot of people that are good talkers and not good listeners. And don't trust them. We should close. I should stop talking now. But I'll give you this third one that'll make you happy and thankful is number three. Number one, your sins are forgiven. Number two, he hears you. And number three, the battle is already won. The battle has already been won. Like, this makes me thankful when I realize Jesus has already won the battle for me. He said in 1 Chronicles chapter 20, somewhere verse 14, I think, he said, the battle is not yours, it's the Lord's. And in 1 Corinthians 15, I believe it's verse 58, he said, thanks be to God who has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God who has given us the victory. It's verse 57. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you realize you've been given the victory? That's what causes you to give thanks to him. When you realize you have the victory, say, I have the victory. Okay, I'd like to invite our team to pass out the communion elements at this time, and let's take communion together tonight. Are you ready? Now, this is what's going to happen. Listen to what I'm about to say, that the Bible calls communion the Eucharist. And we get the word from the word Eucharist means, it comes from the word thanks. And it means to be thankful. Go ahead, team. Thank you. it means to be thankful. In fact, let's stand together, and we're going to take communion standing and worshiping. Could we have our worship team come up, and let's just worship the Lord. So the word for the body of Christ, the communion elements, he said, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, remember me. And when Jesus said, remember me, he was saying, remember what I've done. Remember what I said. But he said, remember. Because thankfulness comes from our memory, what we are remembering, what we are focused on, what we're thinking about. Gratitude and thankfulness involves humility, and it involves memory. So humility is understanding that you didn't accomplish what you have. What you have came from God. The good that you have came from God. And memory. It's so important to look back and rehearse and remember and remind yourself what God has done and what God has said. You see, that's why the Bible says, and I think it's in Psalm 100, enter his gates with thanksgiving. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Boy, if we would just realize how powerful, how healing, how miraculous gratitude is, that we would, and where do you get gratitude from? It's not just by making up your mind, I'm going to be thankful. It's not the discipline of gratitude. It's the overflow of gratitude based on what you are thinking about. What is your mind full of? What is your mind full of? You know, God thinks about you and he says, if I could count all of the sands by the seashore, David said, Lord, your thoughts towards me would outnumber the sands by the seashore. God thinks about you all the time, and it causes him to love you. He doesn't think about you in a negative way. He only thinks about you in the most positive way. Do you realize that? Like, if you get your self-esteem and self-worth, for me as an older person, for you guys, you guys that are younger, you kids, if we would get our self-worth from how much God values us and never worry about what anybody else thinks about us. Like, people are going to have all sorts of thoughts towards you, but most people's thoughts towards you are because of how they think about themselves. So if a person doesn't, this is why there's so much senseless killing and violence, and I'm just so saddened by these people that were killed a couple days ago at the hospital on the south side of Chicago. And what makes a person do something like that? Because when a person doesn't value themselves, then they don't value your life. So taking your life out is not a big deal to somebody that doesn't even value themselves. If a person doesn't have self-worth, a sense of self-worth, then you don't have a sense of worth to them. And so that would cause a person to be willing to do something. That's why we have to re-educate our children and retrain this generation into understanding how valuable they are, how much worth they have to God, how valuable you are to him, how much you matter to God. Because when you realize how much you matter to God, then other people begin to matter as well. And the life, the idea of taking a precious life or harming or hurting somebody else is the farthest thing from your mind when you wouldn't do that to yourself because you value yourself. You wouldn't do that to your car. You wouldn't take a sledgehammer and start beating your car over and cracking the windshield and kicking in everything. You wouldn't do that to something you value. You would only do that to something you don't value. And the reason people destroy themselves and the reason people destroy others is because they don't value themselves. You need to realize that if God didn't value you, he wouldn't have paid for you with his own blood. But he did. Paid for you in his own blood. gave himself for you, his body, his blood. That's how much value you have. Now, who's ever done that for you? Whoever has died for you? Because nobody values you as much as God values you. Nobody understands your worth as much as God understands your worth. That's why he said, nobody else is even bidding. Like you were the object that was at an auction, and God was the only one at the auction to buy you. And there was nobody else that was even making a bid. And he still said, I'll take that one and I'll pay in my own blood for their soul. Nobody else even bidding. Like, God could have thought, well, I'll be cheap and I'll offer my nephew rather than my son. I'll offer Cousin Eddie rather than Jesus. No. No one else even made a bid on you. And yet Jesus was willing to offer himself completely for you. That's how much worth you have. That's how much value you have. And guess what? That's how much worth the person next to you has too. You get a hold of that. You start treating people better. Be thankful for the people in your life. I'm not saying, look, not all relationships work. Not all relationships make it. I get that. But if we would just have an attitude of thankfulness because of what God has given us and what God has done, it'll change everything. It'll give you purpose. It'll give you meaning. It'll give you significance. Remember, they didn't glorify God, nor were they thankful. And what happened? Their minds became futile, and their hearts became foolish and darkened. I'm not letting that happen to you. We're not going to be a people that waits around for the preacher to stir us up before we glorify God. We're going to come back on Sunday full of thanks, full of glory, glorifying God, and grateful for all that God has done in our lives. You say, well, what can he do between now and Sunday? It's not what he can do between now and Sunday. It's what you can remember that he's already done between now and Sunday. It's all about remembering. Now, when we take communion tonight, and those of you that are watching, I want to welcome you and invite you to join us in taking communion. Go get some bread. Go get some grape juice, some wine, whatever you can get your hands on. Get something. Get some crackers. Get a Ritz. Get whatever you need, man. Get some matzah. Get some Wonder Bread. Whatever you can get your hands on. English muffin. Here's to the Brits taking communion with us. But this is what's going to happen. We're going to thank God for these three things. And it's just going to release this gratitude and this attitude and this spirit of healing and breakthroughs and victory. Because every breakthrough that you need in your life starts with what you already have. It starts with what you already have. By being thankful for what you already have. I want you to just, everybody pray this together. Just say, Heavenly Father, thank you that my sins are forgiven, washed by the blood of Jesus. Thank you that you hear my heart, you hear my cry, you hear my voice, and thank you that the battle is already won. I have the victory. Jesus already paid it all. And I receive freely all that you've done for me. And I glorify you. And I glorify what you did on the cross. I glorify your body, your blood, as I receive communion. In Jesus' name.